left from those last call lights. The review showing me a perfect night. Minutes fly like seconds when you're around. I'm going 0 to 60 in 6.5. Got the two-door black Ford tucked inside. And two outlines trying to slow it down. Taking my time, letting this road wind, making this drive home last all night. Missing every road sign, I can tell you don't mind, making every wrong turn feel so right. When I drop you off at your front porch, I might get a kiss, but this is the part I know I'm gonna miss. It's been green lights all night, and I don't want this to end, so I'm hoping that we catch a red.
You just heard a snippet of the latest single, Catch a Red, by country artist Mike Whiteside. It wasn't until Kenny Chesney's concert in the summer of 2018 that Whiteside knew he was going to pursue music. This Ontario singer-songwriter first recorded his debut single, 3 AM, which was released in the summer of 2020. Since then, Whiteside was selected as one of the top 7 finalists in the Boots and Hearts Emerging Artist Showcase. Since then, he's been connecting with songwriters all across Canada, Nashville, and Australia. He is quickly making a name for himself in the Canadian country music industry. Whiteside's music is a blend of pop country influences, catchy melodies, and relatable lyrics. Inspired by artists like Jordan Davis, Brett Young, and Sam Hunt, Mike is currently working on his debut EP with Juno-nominated producers Spencer Cheen and Justin Cutting out of Calgary. Here to talk about his latest single and his upcoming debut EP is country artist Mike Whiteside. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Good. It's great to have you on the show.
I really appreciate it. It's I see a 416 number. So whereabouts are you from? Are you Toronto or
yes.
Are you Durham?
Yes.
Or? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I guess we're pretty close because you're what, Oshawa way, somewhere out the Ajax?
Just north. Yeah, I was originally from Ajax. Now I'm in Port Perry. I mean, if you can call it.
Wow. I know Port Perry very well.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
no,
nice
I love
out
it
there.
Up here. I never would have imagined myself here, to be honest with you, in the first place. But now that I'm here, I absolutely love it. It's hard to go back down to even like Durham region, going to Oshawa. Busy down here.
Well, it's great in the summertime too, Port Perry. Lots of stuff going on out there. Yeah. It's a nice, yes. Nice little spot.
Us locals, we avoid downtown on the weekends in the summer.
It's like us locals that avoid Toronto in the summer if we can help it.
Exactly.
Staying away from the highways altogether.
I know. Oh, so true.
It's just anything I can do to stay away from the noise, I'll do it every
time. You know what? That's the exact phrase my dad used to stay. They lived in Ajax for the longest time, and then they finally, he retired, and then he was like, I need to get away from the noise. He'd been working in Toronto, basically just off of Vic Park there.
Oh, wow.
And he's just like, it's time for me to go. Like, I need to get back to where it's quiet.
You can't blame him. Just driving downtown Toronto, if he's working in there, yeah, it's the last place you want to be. And not having to do that drive every day, yeah, for sure. I don't blame him.
No, not at all.
No. I'm going to play all of your music tonight.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, so we're going to play all 4 so that we get a good taste of the kind of artist that you are. So let's talk a little bit about your background and what influences in music that you had in the home growing up.
It's funny. I look back and like nobody in my family was necessarily, nobody really took up music. Like music always played in the house, but nobody was necessarily a musician. Nobody was a singer, nothing like that. So I was kind of the first in my family to branch off and do that. Mm. But a lot of what was playing in my home was not country. It was like James Taylor, ZZ Top, countless others, different genres. Simon and Garfunkel really doesn't fit the mold. But now that I kind of listen back and hear some of the nuances in my voice, mm-hmm. I kind of pick up on maybe little things that I heard growing up that I didn't necessarily know were even there.
And it's all coming out now when we're hearing some of the latest stuff that you got. Yeah, it's great. Really great voice.
Thank you very much.
You got a really great voice. What was it like for you playing guitar, first learning how to do that, and whether or not you wanted to dabble into the writing end of it?
Well, when I first learned to play guitar, I literally taught myself when I was in like, I think it was grade 4 when I first picked up a guitar. Mm. And I used to print off tabs online. And I would just kind of sit there and learn how to play these different songs. And that's really how I learned. So I don't necessarily have a background of music in terms of like theory and actually going and taking lessons for it. I just kind of taught myself. And I find I still do that today when it comes to guitar. But in terms of getting into writing, it wasn't something that came until later, until I finally started getting into music, being like, hey, you know what? Like, it's cool to play other songs, but wouldn't it also be kind of cool to take a hand at writing my own stuff? And so a few years back is really when I first started even writing. It wasn't really when I was young.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, because a lot of the time, usually, you're hearing a lot of the artists kind of dabble into it at 15, 16 because it's a way of expressing your artistry and, kind of what your thought process is and how you relate to music. But hockey was your first love.
I was gonna say, hockey was my first love. I was basically, that was it all the time. It was hockey, 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 playing up through university. And my goal was always to play up into university and then get my degree, which I did. And once I was done with hockey, I guess I needed to find a new passion. And that's kind of what led me into music.
Nice. Yeah, because you see a lot of the artists, a lot of the male country artists here in Canada all have hockey backgrounds, quite a few of them, and they seem to really be able to identify with music. But I think the discipline of playing hockey and what it takes to be in that sport and the dedication that you need, I think it really lends itself into what it takes to become a successful artist in this business, right?
I do. I think there's a lot of times, there's a lot of ups and downs in music, but it's just the same as anything else, especially hockey, because you're used to taking a lot of critiques, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but really you can't let it affect you. So I think, as you said, a lot of people have transitioned from hockey into music, and I think with me in particular, it really gives me that upper edge to just let things roll off my back, not take anything personally, and just continue on. As long as I know I'm getting my reps in, I'm getting better, and I'm building my business, that's all I really care about. So I do really think that hockey or any type of team sport allows you to really just drop the ego, get to work, and continue on regardless of what external factors are trying to, weigh you down.
Well, the work ethic is really, really important when it comes to learning your craft, honing your craft, getting better at it, and just being a sponge and learning from everybody that you're writing with. And you get better and better and better, and you'll start hearing and building your own brand, knowing the kind of music that you want to play as you go. And there's just so much development there. And if you think you're going to get it right off the top, it's not going to happen. It's just, when you're working at it and just seeing what you love about your own music, that's the key. And staying there and writing music for the reasons why you started this in the first place is just for the love of music, right?
I agree. The coolest thing that ever happened to me was the first time I heard a song that I had written come to completion. And it was kind of one of those things where I was like, oh, this is how it's done. And so that for me was the coolest. That was like my aha moment where I was like, okay, like I saw a line sitting there and all of a sudden I'm hooked. And since then I'm just like, okay, I love this. Like this is for me.
That's kind of cool. Like, I know you love Kenny Chesney. I know that. And that going to that
Yes.
concert was a big deal for you. It reignited that fire for you when you finished hockey, and just that influence that you had in music started there, didn't it?
It really did. I always use that story about Kenny Chesney. I always say I'm going to be up on stage with him one day, and I caught a hat at that concert of all things, and I kept it to this day. It's torn beyond shreds. The front, the brim is all over the place. But I said, I don't even want a new one. Just one day when I'm up on stage with Kenny, I'll be wearing
Oh,
that
see, there you go. That's a manifest
hat.
one,
Yes.
right? So you have to have
I
those.
believe so.
Yeah. And
I think so,
guarantee
yeah.
if you push hard enough and you believe in it, it'll happen. It'll happen.
It will.
Well, look at Hardy. He's going to be at Boots and Hearts this year. Are you going to be there?
I'm not sure yet if I will be there. I hope to be there, but we shall see.
Wouldn't that be cool if you'd be backstage? Because that's
That
another person you really like.
I love Hardy. He's honestly, I was listening to his album. I'm pretty sure I listen to his album every morning when I'm in the gym. Like,
There's
it's
a lot of
just,
us
he's one of my
that
favorite.
do.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite writers. And in terms of country and country rock, and he's flirting the line with both, which I really, really like. Yeah, he's up there. He's one of my favorite. I'd say between him and Kenny, those are two guys I'd like to probably write with and then share a stage with, and
I
maybe a
was
couple
gonna
beers with
say,
too.
getting up there and playing on stage, that would be pretty sweet. That would be so sweet. Now, I can't believe Boots and Hearts was your first live performance. That's crazy.
I know. I always say I went from zero to 100 pretty quick.
I was going to say, you're throwing yourself right into the frying pan right there.
To be honest with you, if I were to take it back and take a look at my life as it's transpired, it's always been that way, and I don't think I'd have it any other way. You just kind of got to take life by the horns and go after it, because there's a lot of times you can talk yourself out of things, and I would never talk myself out of that. I find that I do that with a lot of things in life, and I saw the opportunity, and I seized it, and I'm so grateful for everything that a Boots and Hearts experience has, you know, given me.
A lot of artists have gotten an incredible start coming off that stage. A lot of the people that you'd be opening up for right now started there. And I've been a veteran in that pit since day one. And so it's just such a great launching pad for so many careers. So it's a really cool spot. Once you're on that stage, that's a pretty sweet deal. Very cool.
It really is. Yeah. I've taken a look back. It's funny you say that. I've looked at who's actually played in that Emerging Artist Showcase. And the names that you see, as you said, that are now, you know, have moved on and done extremely well, there's a lot more than you would think. There's people that are, you know, touring around basically North America right now. And you look back and you go, they played that. And you're kind of like, wow, I never knew that. So it really has been a great launching pad for people. And I'm just super grateful that I'm part of that list that was able to play in it.
I remember the Reclaws when they came off stage and the James Barker Band. There's just so many memories that I have in artists that are doing so well coming off that stage. And yeah, it's a really great show here in Canada. An incredible show.
It's my favorite. I'll be back there one day. I'll be on the main stage though.
You will. And that won't surprise me. That will not surprise me. You've got to be pretty excited to see how your peers in this industry have opened up their arms and welcomed you into the community so easily. How does that feel for you as an artist coming into this not that long ago?
Yeah, you know, it's been awesome. I think I'm kind of, I'm that guy that'll just ask anybody anything. And so when I got into music and I've further gotten into writing, I wasn't afraid to ask anybody. So it was like when I wrote with one person, that led to another person, and that led to another person, where now I've been able to cultivate, you know, really strong relationships and networks of people all over, you know, basically Canada, as well as Nashville. I mean, I travel between here and Nashville all the time, and people will welcome me in with open arms has been amazing. But I think everybody's kind of in the same boat. We all know that we're in this together, and everybody kind of works together. And I think if you see other artists and writers and stuff like that as competition, then you're missing the boat, because each of you have individual businesses and you can kind of help each other in a way. You're not necessarily the competition. So I think that's why there's such a connection with artists who are willing to open up your arms, even if you haven't really been in the industry that long.
Well, everybody's been in that place. Like, they talk about going to the award shows and you see all the veterans gathered together, but they were in the same boat as you. But what they always tell all the artists that are starting out is get out there and network, because the person sitting beside you might be engineering or mixer or producer, right? Or starting out in that position, right? Or there might be another songwriter, another artist. They take a look and listen to your voice, and they'll remember that as they're going along. And a couple years down the road, you guys are all standing there up on the podium together in your own individual lanes. And it's amazing, you know, what that networking does and making sure that you get out there and just do it. As you said, that's something that you do very easily, because there's no fear when we're younger. As we get older, as you said, we kind of talk ourselves out of stuff. Yeah. We think about things too much. It's great that you don't have that. That's a real plus going into this. Very cool.
I've always been in sales and have my own businesses.
Oh, so there you go.
Naturally, you gotta dive head first. yes.
So. That explains a little more then.
I've always been in some sort of sales role and always have my own business. So it's been one of those things where I've just learned that, hey, one no is just one much, you're that much closer to a yes. So.
Well, you have to look at this as a business too, because it's your brand, it's you. So everything that you're doing is building it and honing it in and building it and making it, you'll get to that sweet spot and you'll know it when it comes. It'll just be amazing.
I agree with you 100%. I almost look at it as you're almost like a real estate investor. When you first start out and you're putting out your first song, each song that you put out is almost like a house that you're investing in. When you first start, maybe you don't necessarily know the right areas that you're investing in. Mm-hmm. Maybe you make a couple of mistakes on that end. But as you continue to buy these houses, aka put out these songs, you try to get a little bit better and make sure that the return on each of these houses that you're investing into gets a little bit better as well. And that's kind of just how I've tried to play it and use those analogies in my head to continue to put out music and build the business, because I do really view this as a business.
Very smart. Very smart, because you're building room by room, maybe starting at the foundation and working your way up and adding on. It's very, very smart analogy. Very cool.
Thank you.
And knowing exactly what you got to do, hard work and work ethics, and just keep going. You are going to do amazing. You really will, because you got the voice. You have everything.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk about your debut single, 3 a.m. Really cool song. Talk about working with Robin on that.
Yeah, so when I was looking for a producer, I just honestly, Robin and I were following each other on Instagram, and I had reached out and be like, hey, listen, like, I've seen you post a couple clips, you know, the songs sound pretty good. I'm like, who are you working with? And she introduced me to Mark Shore and Eric Kintelman, who produced that song, and they were her managers, they produced for her and stuff like that. And I talked to Mark, and at the time I just started writing my own stuff, but he's like, hey, Robin's got a bunch of songs that she's sitting on. Why don't you take a listen to a couple of these and let me know what you think? And one of those songs was 3 a.m. And I listened to it, and I just come out of a decently long-term relationship that ended. And I was going, no, I can kind of relate to this. Like maybe some other people would too. And mm-hmm. I like the sounds of it. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Let's go for it. Let's do this. And so that's how I ended up recording this one. Robin wrote this one, but that's actually what started my relationship with a lot of people, was after putting out this song, I wrote with Robin a couple of times, who introduced me to another person that I write with all the time now, who's one of my best friends in the industry, who introduced me to another person, and so on and so forth. And so that I do really believe that 3 a.m. was my real kind of start in the industry in terms of starting to network with people.
Mm-hmm. And she is so good. She has just skyrocketed. She's got such great success under her belt now. And she's an incredible writer. She's really good.
She is. Yes, we've written a couple times and we've always gotten something good. It's been a while since the last time, but I still see her when I'm down in Nashville. She's an amazing person, and I wish her nothing but the best with everything that she's got going on, because as you said, she skyrocketed from, I remember listening to F-150 when they were demos, sitting with Mark and Eric in their studio there, and now to see how that's gone and how it's blown up and where she is, it's just amazing. I'm so happy for her.
I know, she's worked hard and she deserves it. She's like you. She's all guts, right? She just goes after what she wants.
Told me,
yeah,
I will say, she's the one that told me that as long as you just continue to put your head down, mm-hmm. and keep going and block everything else out, you're going to get where you need to go. And I think, you know, a lot of times we get caught up in timelines and stuff like that. What we have to realize is that, you know, this business presumably is going to last you your entire life, so you might as well get real comfortable with the journey and embrace the journey and realize that everything's going to come when you need it to come. And it's all part of the process.
You're going to be a great person for younger artists to come in and listen to for advice.
Maybe I'll become a motivational speaker when I'm done.
I think so. I'm just listening going, yeah, we can apply that to so many things about now. That's awesome.
You know, I think I've been getting into music a little bit. As you said, I didn't get right out of high school and get into music. It took me a little bit after that. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of those experiences that I did have are
they
what's really
you now.
Even allowed me to do what I have done. I don't think I would have done it if I didn't go through what I had to go through before this. You know?
That's what I mean. That mindset is already in place. And that's because of the journey you had prior to music. And that's really lent a hand here. And it's really going to be a plus for you along the way.
I agree.
We're going to play this one right now. Here's the debut single, 3 a.m. by country artist Mike Whiteside, here on Music's Journey.
Ask you some questions like how you've been doing. Are you This ain't a 3 a.m. I'm lonely call. I haven't had a drop of alcohol, and I'm just curious, aren't you curious about me at all? And I made my bed, but can't sleep in it. And losing you is harder than I'll admit. No, this ain't a 3 a.m. I'm lonely call. It's a nightmare.
Was the debut single 3 a.m. by my very special guest, country artist Mike Whiteside. Very cool. Such a great debut single. And you've had such great feedback from that one. What did it feel like for you to hear the fans and hear what the music industry thought of that song?
I don't even think I knew what I was doing. If I'm being fully honest, like I'm still learning, but point, I was so green that I was just soaking everything in. I don't even know if I know what was going on. I will say with this song in particular, Kenny Chesney spoke about on a couple different occasions here, the full circle moment for me with this song was I wasn't sure what I was doing, putting out music. I don't know if this is going well. I don't know what I'm doing. But the very first time that I saw it actually play on radio was right
That's
after a
moment.
Kenny Chesney song.
Oh, really?
So that was my kind of moment being like, going with this.
That's cool. That is cool.
Yeah. Was very cool.
Full circle moments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, is making sure you pay attention to those moments, because like you said already, it was kind of a blur and not sharing, you know, what was happening, what was going to be the next step, all of that kind of thing. But it's just making sure when you do go along this journey and that success comes, take a moment, stop what you're doing, take the time and just breathe in and just take that success as it comes, all those small wins.
I agree. It's those little small wins that keep you going on to the next one, I think.
Exactly. Exactly. Did you have a lot of practice at all, like playing in any bars and pubs and things like that?
No, not at all. And
wow.
I think I've taken a little bit of a different approach, and I've always kind of done that. But for me, what I get out of music is playing my own songs and telling my own story. And not that I don't want to play and go and play in covers and stuff like that. It's just, it wasn't for me. I wanted to really focus on my songwriting, telling my story and producing my own songs and get that out to the world until one day I'm actually able to go and put a full show together of all my own songs. So
smart.
I didn't have any practice. I've always been focused on developing my own brand first and foremost, which is, as I said, it's very counterintuitive sometimes because you should be out there, you should be playing this and that. But for me, it's always been, well, I want to songwrite, I want to tell my own song or tell my own story and play my own songs. And I stuck to it.
Brittany Cannell, I just had her on the show last week. Yep. And very
she's
similar.
Great. I've written with her too. Yeah, she's amazing. Sorry, I didn't cut you off there.
Yeah, no, like she's took that same approach. What she did was she didn't release. What she did was stay back and really hone in the craft of writing. Till she knew that she got enough behind her and enough experience behind her, got in as many writing rooms as she could possibly get in, and really worked her way and stayed in Nashville, like she said, a little bit too long, you know, when she had gone, because she was there for quite a while.
Yeah.
And then now, you know, she's so comfortable and forcing herself to be more comfortable as a singer, because she's got an incredible voice. But, you know, she definitely knows who she is as an artist, and it takes time to get there. And she thought she knew in the beginning too, but it was spending that time in all the writing sessions that she really learned that her voice meant something. Even though you're a new writer coming in, they always tell you, make sure you speak up, because your ideas, even though it might be something that you're not sure if you should be contributing or not, contribute, because it sparks an idea for somebody else that's sitting in that room. And that's what you learn as you go. It's pretty cool.
It really does. I find that once you get into the writing rooms, especially with some bigger writers, they want you to contribute because exactly. They want you to help spark those ideas. And when you don't, if you're fearful, even if it sounds dumb to you at the time, mm-hmm. to somebody else, they might be like, that's cool. Why don't we twist it this way?
Exactly.
And so it really comes back to that ego thing and just obviously working on a team. Mm-hmm. As a team, you play different roles. So whatever role you're playing that day, you got to show up and you got to play it to the best of your ability. And for some days, you might be a melody guy, or some days you might be a track guy, or some days you might be a lyricist. Mm-hmm. It really is whatever that team is calling on you to do in that day. You're just going to make sure you show up and you got to give it your all. And sometimes it's going to be great. Sometimes it's not going to be the best, but mm-hmm. as long as you give it your all, that's all that they care about, I think, especially when you're writing with new writers and more experienced writers and, mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff.
Well, and it's true, because I think a lot of artists coming into this will say, okay, you know, I'm really comfortable with this writer and that writer. And they kind of stick to that. But the whole point about learning this craft is getting in as many rooms as you can, because you'll be shocked at what you learn and how fast you learn. You know, like you said, some days it's going to be really easy, other days not so much. It could take you a week in coming back to a song that you worked on. You will have a core, and I think you probably already do by now, I would think. Lindy Sutton.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I was going to say.
yeah.
Lindy's probably one of those.
I look back at my last three songs.
Well, Aaron too, right?
Tell, yeah.
Aaron Pollock.
Yeah. Well, we've got, you know what? It's just we've gotten such good songs mm-hmm. out of every single session that we have. So it's hard not to go back to the same crew. We actually just wrote another song last week that we were sitting there. I was talking to Lydia actually just before we got onto this call, and she's like, hey, that song that we played, she was sending it into her publisher, and she's just like, it's really good. I'm like, I know, I've been playing it all week. And it's just like every single time that there's a group of four of us to get together, it was me, Lydia, and then Aaron, and also our friend Rich. Mm-hmm. We always seem to get something good. And so I do agree with you. I think that especially when you're first starting, experience writing with as many people as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Figure out who that core group is. It's going to take that fear of getting in different rooms and not sure if you should speak up and what role you should play. It's going to get that all out of the way. Mm-hmm. So that when you do find that crew of people that you click with and people that you get good songs with and you're most time efficient with, well, then you guys can get to task and you can really start to develop a project quite quickly. And that's what I find with, you know, this group is that whenever we do come into a write, now we have some sort of direction. There's no real wasted time at the beginning being mm-hmm. like, well, you know, I'm thinking this and thinking this. We kind of have a clear focus of, okay, you know, for the most part, maybe we're writing for my project. Mm-hmm. Whenever we're typically writing, it's for me. Okay, here's kind of the vision I have. What do we have cooking? Mm-hmm. Anybody got any ideas that's come over the last couple of weeks? So I think finding that core and finding your people, if you will, because mm-hmm. you see it all over the industry. Let's call it Ernest, Hardy, Morgan Wallen. They write quite a bit together, right? You find your core and you really just try and create some magic with that. And hopefully one song or another, you catch some lightning in a bottle and it takes off.
Well, I think you're on your way. I think you're on your way. And that's a cool feeling. That's just going to feel even more special as you go. And it's going to be more authentic. Every single song is going to be more and more you. And you'll discover who you want to be as you go along. Because it's still early in the game, but you've got some pretty cool songs. Pretty cool songs that you've released
Thank
so
you.
Far. Very cool. Now, you've been writing also with some Zooms, I would imagine, for Australia and some other places. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was, you know, COVID threw a wrench in everything. And it made us really start to evaluate how we could write. And honestly, I think it just made us a little bit more efficient in terms mm-hmm. of being able to write with multiple people in different provinces and different countries and different continents and be able to do that all in the span of a day. So during COVID, it just gave me that time to write, and I wrote a ton. I was writing with people all over the place. So it's cool, I think, to write with people from different provinces. Like I've written with Brittany and Lydia, both from Montreal. Mm-hmm. And so the Quebec take, they're going to have a little bit of a different take, whereas I've written with people from Alberta and they're going to have a different take. And I've written with people from Nashville and people from Australia, and everybody kind of has a different take, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to see the world different. You're all from different places. And I think that is so cool that we were able to take a negative, aka COVID, and be able to connect with so many different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just a learning curve for everybody, you know, going through this, and somebody having to transition, whether or not it was on radio, to a producer, to people getting their studios built in their own places and creating their parts, you know, at home. It just became a norm. And now you're seeing so many people writing with each other in different countries that wouldn't have been possible if we hadn't gone through all that.
I agree. I think it really made people evaluate their entire business model and be like, exactly. Okay, how can we cut some of the fat off here, and how can we make this a bit more efficient? Mm-hmm. I think especially on the writing side, it's, you know, you didn't really have to worry about driving across town.
That's true. Just,
okay, on to the next one. Sorry, guys, I got to go. I got another right set up right after this.
The other side of it was when everybody's getting ready to play live music again, what it cost for band members, and it just... the equipment, everything skyrocketed. It was so difficult for everybody to have full bands playing again. Not easy. It's been a big transition all the way around. Yeah.
It has. Mm-hmm. With anything, there's going to be some sort of disruption, and there's going to be new ways of doing business.
Oh,
right?
For sure. So that's how we learn, right?
I'm glad to see. It's funny to imagine period of time that's passed since COVID and everything like that. But it's good to see live music back. It's
Thank
flourishing.
God.
All the award shows are happening. Concerts are happening. People are together. And to me, that's just amazing. I'm so glad for that.
Well, music's healing, right? It's one universal language we all can understand. And it doesn't matter what corner of the earth we are. It's just, it's just something that we all gravitate to. And it's all a big part of our lives. So I'm so grateful that we're back to what we feel is the norm now, which is really cool. Let's talk about your second single that we're going to play here, and that's My Kind of Paradise. Very cool song. Tell us about this
one. Thank you. Yeah, I actually played that at Boots and Hearts, and that was one of the main reasons why I actually recorded it. It was one that I had written with Lydia, Rich, and Aaron, and right from the get-go, I was like, this is super catchy. I love this song. We were all kind of just, we felt the same about it going into that, right? So I really liked it, and once I performed it, I had so many people come up to me after I got off the stage, and mind you, I'm in a complete bliss at this point, because I'm like, my adrenaline was going, I was exhausted, I was kind of like... coming down off of that
mentally.
And like, I didn't even drink that day. I didn't do nothing. I was literally just like on an emotional high from being on stage and being like, I just did that. Mm-hmm. And I had people coming up to me being like, I love that song. That one song, My Kind of Paradise. Like, that was so catchy. Like, I was like, is it out? Like, I want to hear it. And I'm like, it's not out, but I think it might be in the near future.
Nice.
And so that was one of the main drivers as to why I actually recorded that song. And it has so many memories tied to Boots and Hearts for me. It's one of those ones where every time I listen to it, it takes me back to that time. Mm-hmm. I'm standing up on stage and I'm looking out at people, and it's always going to be that first song that I played on a stage of any significance.
Well, and it's cool because everybody can relate to this song too, the lyrics in the song. When you're with the right person playing that in a festival, everybody's going to be sitting there going, yeah, I'm happy right now. None of the fluff that people stress over. It's right now being together and playing that live. That's why they connected. It's just such a great song all the way around. Great message too at that time.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I write a lot about, at least stuff that I've released so far, is all very, we'll call it lovey-dovey.
What do you mean?
it's just those songs about love and being in relationships. It's, I do have
listen
some
to how he says it. So it's not about love. And it's my job to tease you.
No, yeah. I know. I can take it. You know that.
Well, you'll learn me pretty quickly along the way. Yes. We're going to play this one right now. Here's the sophomore single, My Kind of Paradise, by country artist Mike Whiteside, here on Music's Journey.
I wanna know what it's like to catch that red eye flight, Times Square, New Year's on a Friday night, seeing that big apple shine with your hand in mine. sipping sangria on a beach in the south of France. Sweet talking in the language of romance. Hearts crashing like waves out on the rocks. Getting lost in your eyes. I see every shade of that good life. On Sunday morning, you're stealing my t-shirt. Dancing in the mirror to our favorite song. Hair up, no makeup on the sofa. Drinking that box of wine, watching the same show every night. Your head on my shoulder, we couldn't get much closer if we tried. Cause that's my kind of paradise. It's a 24 karat rock in your left hand, spinning you around for our first dance. That honeymoon's never gonna end as long as we spend. Sunday morning, you're stealing my t-shirt. Dancing in the mirror to our favorite song. Hair up, no makeup on the sofa. Drinking that box of wine, watching the same show every night. Your head on my shoulder, we couldn't get much closer if we tried. Cause that's my kind of paradise. We can go anywhere, do anything, but nothing could compare to what I see. On Sunday morning, you're stealing my t-shirt. Dancing in the mirror to our favorite song. Hair up, no makeup on the sofa. Drinking that box of wine, watching the same show every night. Your head on my shoulder, we couldn't get much closer if we tried. Cause that's my kind of paradise. Yeah, that's my kind of paradise. My kind of paradise. My kind of paradise.
That was My Kind of Paradise by my very special guest, country artist Mike Whiteside. Such a catchy tune. What were some of the stories that you were hearing, listening to the fans respond with what their story was in response to the lyrics of this song?
It wasn't so much stories. It was more just that they could relate to it. They were just like man, this they loved the catchiness of it and mm-hmm. just the message behind it. They could relate to on just a really, really like easy level. And that was the whole thing for me. It was like, this is just an easy song for people to get on board with. And it was not necessarily anything in depth in terms of stories that they were telling me. It was just that they could relate to it. Mm-hmm. They were like, man, like, yeah, like I get that. It's not something big and extravagant. It's just like, you know, that bottle of wine sitting on the
simple
couch, like the normal things that we do.
Should we
right?
say
that
pizza
are
for
the
you?
Actual parts. Pizza is my, oh my
Your
gosh,
kryptonite?
Don't even get me started with it. It's my kryptonite. I would say pizza and cookies. Okay.
Oh,
those are the two things.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite toppings?
To keep it off.
Okay. What's your favorite toppings for pizza?
I'm so simple though. I could go, honestly, I could do anything. But mostly, okay. I could do pepperoni. I could keep it really simple, but I could do like pepperoni, bacon, mushroom. I could do pepperoni, bacon, onions, like put anything on it. I'll eat it.
See, you can hear that love in your voice, right?
Yeah, I know. I should have wrote a song about pizza, I think. I kind of did, but a full one about it.
That's so funny. That is so cool. Okay, so Chinese food, I know, is another favorite of yours.
It is, yes. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Chinese food? I have my ways.
You're scared me a little bit. I'm like, how does she know this?
That's what everybody says. Every time I do an interview, yeah. They'll sit there, man, she does her research. Yes, I do.
Yeah. I could, like, I used to go and get, like, sesame chicken. I love that. Like sweet sour chicken and rice. Yeah, like along those lines. Like I can be pretty simple in that terms. Anything from Chinese food, I'll really kind of go after as well. But sesame chicken's a big one. Sweet and sour chicken. I'm not going to lie, you're making me kind of hungry now.
Me too. I haven't eaten yet. You can hear my stomach growling here. Okay, so let's give a shout out to your favorite pizza place and your favorite Chinese food place.
Okay, so I'm currently looking for a new Chinese food place because the word around town here in Port Perry is that they're not sure where the best place is. So there was one place in Oshawa when I was in university playing hockey there, and it was called, I want to say Golden Gem or something like that, on Simcoe Street in Oshawa. So I'll give them a shout out.
Nice.
And then there is Pizza-wise, I'm going to have to give my local guys here in Port Perry Krusty Pizza. Didn't I give them a shout out?
Very cool. I'm sure they'll appreciate that because it's those midnight runs, right? Those favorite places.
Well, I train Muay Thai, and it's here in town as well. I'm like drenched and exhausted after Muay Thai, and it's very frequently that I will put in a call as I'm leaving Muay Thai and make a pit stop on the way for their walk-in special. So
that's funny. Well, they'll appreciate that because after all that hard work and exercise and trying to keep healthy, you come and get pizza. Yeah.
I know. I'm not sure where the balance is on the scales for that one yet, but I think they're kind of just
I'm trying to work with you here.
Those days.
Yeah, I'm trying to work with you.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Now, let's ask you what your dream write would be. I'm guessing Hardy's one of those. Kenny Chesney is an incredible writer, too.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, I always had Hardy in the back of my mind. And you know, one person I always want in there is my best friend, Lydia Sutherland. I already have some of my dream rights because she's one of my best friends and she's absolutely taken off, and you can expect to hear big things from her if you haven't already.
Well, she's been on the
show. She's going to be on Rocket to the Moon. So
yeah, she's been on the show many times that she may not know about, you know, with other artists that I've had on the show. So yeah, we've talked about her quite a bit. She's pretty cool. She's done a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So technically I've already had one of my dream rights, I guess, but Hardy, if I could get a three-way right between me, Lydia, and Hardy, I think I'd be pretty happy with that.
He's going, okay, that's one off my bucket list. Yeah. There we go. Okay, what has been the biggest challenge for you so far as a musician?
I think it really comes back to like the start is you really have to set your expectations. When you first get into it, you think like an artist and more from the creative side. But for me, I own businesses outside of music. And so I really had to kind of shift that focus from the artist and the creative to the business and realize that it doesn't come overnight. It shouldn't. But as long as you continue to build up the business and build leverage, then eventually the right people are going to come calling. You know, so often, you know, I'm sure you talk to lots of upcoming artists. They're just saying, oh, I want to get a record deal. I want to do all this. And for me, I always think back now going, okay, if I want to get a record deal, do I have leverage? So the challenges for me when I first started were setting my own expectations. And instead of running it like a business, I was running it like a creative and an artist. And once I finally made that shift, I think that allowed me to alleviate some of those challenges that I was facing because, you know, as any creative and as any artist, as you put out a piece of music that is very near and dear to your heart, especially if you wrote it, you know, you get attached to that. And I think on some level, you almost have to detach yourself, from some of the outcomes of what even happens with that song. You almost have to just look at it as a business, put it out, continue to grow, build your leverage, build up your revenue, and not worry so much about all the other stuff that's going on behind the scenes. Because at the end of the day, if this is truly a passion of yours, then I think you really should be able to do it for free. If it's really a passion, right?
It's just building and building and building your catalog. You might not see it right now, but as you're going on in this journey, you'll say, you know what? I really wasn't ready. I might have thought I was. But when it does happen, you're more ready. And it's just, it's all in timing. And it's really important. It's not always in our timing. And that's where we have to get used to that, right? In business, I think you know that too.
Yeah, you know, I had an old coach in university that used to say, it's when opportunity meets preparedness. So
that's right.
You just have to continue to prepare and continue to put in your reps and
It'll happen.
Eventually it'll happen. Yep. It'll happen.
Hard work is what makes that happen. Because people see that. They want to see that you're seasoned. They want to see that you're working for it and hungry for it. Like, look at Tim Hicks, 20 years before he got his.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people don't see that, right? People see that it happened and they think it's overnight, but they don't see the 20 years that it took to become the best.
Oh, yeah. I remember him playing in the clubs and going in and saying, man, you know, it's going to come. He's going, I hope so. And he was like so humble. And when it took off and then, you know, 10 years, look how many awards the man has. It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool.
I'm pretty sure he played Boots and Hearts Emerging Artists way back in the day too.
Oh gosh, yeah. Oh no.
Wasn't him?
Wait a second. Yes, he did.
I think
he did the very first year. The very first year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, because
he's another one.
Yeah, coming into that, and then like he's opening for the Boots and Hearts every single year since. So he's the artist that plays Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Let's talk about your third single, Never Been to California. I like the twist on this one because people hear the title, they may not really understand, you know, what it's about. But I love the unique twist because finding love in a small town and just understanding that, you know what, beauty is in our imagination too. And if we dream of a place or we dream of a love, we know what it feels like already inside because we've already thought about and we've already had a picture in our mind. But this was kind of cool. I really like that, the visual. That's what the lyrics
do. Thank
you.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people even ask me, like, have you been to California? I'm like, I've actually never been to California. That was the one question I was always getting. And I was like, no, I've never been to California.
As soon as they hear the title, that's exactly where they're going to go, right?
No, but the visual, as you talked about, when we went into this write, it was also with Aaron and Lydia, but it was also with Spencer Shane, who was a producer on the song.
Oh, he's so good. That guy's
good. He is very talented. Both him and Justin Cutting, I worked with them for
Juno-nominated.
The last songs there. Mm-hmm. They are, yes. Great individuals, even better people. When we got into this write, I was explaining just that. You know, I was like, you know that feeling when you're in love. Like, you know that feeling. Mm-hmm. And you can explain it, but you kind of can't. And it's almost like some place you've never been before. Mm-hmm. And I'm literally just sitting there and I'm like, well, I've never been to California. And then we kind of like looked at each other and we were on Zoom at this time. And I was just, we're like, that'll work. Mm-hmm. And then I don't remember who threw it out there. Someone was like, I've never been to California. But when I look in those ocean eyes, I'm like, okay, yeah, let's play off of this. And that's honestly how it started. It was all about explaining, as you said, that feeling of mm-hmm. being in love. And you know it, you know what it feels like to be in love, but it's almost like it's a place you've never been before, or maybe for some people in their lives. And how do we explain that and express that in a way that hasn't been expressed before? A lot of my songs and a lot of my songwriting, especially when I'm writing with Lydia and Aaron, we like to be unique in terms of putting different spins on things, mm-hmm. Especially in the titles, right? It's like, I've never heard a song like that. And that's why I really liked it.
You make people work for it, right? Because you want them to listen to the lyrics. And not just, you know, because a lot of people can sing lyrics and they'll know a song for years and be singing it for years and not really know what the meaning of the song was to begin with. And that's what draws that listener into that. And that's what I loved about it. So I like little twists like that. So it was pretty cool. Very cool.
Thank you very much.
Well done. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Never Been to California by country artist Mike Whiteside here on Music's Journey.
You think a girl like you would be LA famous, but somehow I didn't know what your name was. Then I ran into you like a small town desert oasis. You took me places, and I never been to California, but when I look into the ocean eyes, I get swept away on a sunset wave in a paradise. I never seen the sunset strip, but there's something about tonight. Surrounded by the stars on the hood of my car, sipping apple wine. Catching good vibes parked on your side of town. I never been to California till right now. Round here we ain't
of gold that stretches to the horizon. There ain't no rodeo drive, but when I'm with you, Main Street at night shines like a diamond. Yeah, I've never been to California, but when I look into the ocean eyes, I get swept away on a sunset wave in a paradise. I've never seen the sunset strip, but there's something about tonight. Surrounded by the stars on the hood of my car, sipping apple wine. Catching good vibes parked on your side of town. Never been to California until right now. And caught a one-way fly, looking in your eyes. I don't need to go to California, cause when I look into the ocean eyes, I get swept away on a sunset wave in a paradise. I never seen the sunset strip, but there's something about tonight. Surrounded by the stars on the hood of my car, sipping apple wine. Catching good vibes parked on your side of town. I never been to California. I've never been to California until right now.
That was Never Been to California by my very special guest, country artist Mike Whiteside. Finding the right love, pretty special, and that beauty that you feel inside. So something that you know is pretty amazing and worth the wait. So very cool.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Let's talk about your latest single again. Another little twist here. So Catch a Red. Tell us about that.
Catch a Red. Yeah. That was honestly another one. It was just kind of like, okay, so, you know, that feeling when you've been like you're driving home from like a first date or something like that. And you're like, man, like this night is going extremely well. Like, I don't want this.
I want to hear this. Wait.
And you're
wait,
like,
I want to hear this from a guy's point of view. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know. It's like you go on a bunch of these dates and like maybe something just feels off. Like, you're not feeling that connection or that spark or whatever it is. So you go on a multiple dates and one goes to another and you're kind of like, man, am I ever going to find somebody that I have that connection that I might have with somebody in, you know, a previous relationship, or am I ever going to find that feeling again? And all of a sudden when you do, it's indescribable. Well, I guess we kind of
even better.
So it is describable, yeah. But it's that feeling where you're just like, this night is so good. I don't want it to end. So if I can catch a red light, if I could take a wrong turn, whatever I can do to make this experience last even longer, stretch it out, as you said, that is what we kind of tried to encompass and put into Catch a Red.
Do you have a big, big softy heart inside there?
No, I'm sitting on a ton of breakup songs, actually. So I just showed you guys the soft side first. Don't worry.
Okay. No, it's a good
songs
thing.
That will make you cry.
Okay, you don't get it. See, girls like that part. They like the guys that are vulnerable.
I get it.
They like
it.
The vulnerable side. There we go. So just stick with that. Work with me.
I'm giving you a sneak peek. I'm giving you a sneak peek that there might be some
trying
that
to help
are on
you.
The flip side. I appreciate that.
Trying to help you, Mike. Go with it.
Yes. Well, I'm still going with it. We're good.
Yeah, you lead with that. Yeah, it works every time. So I shouldn't say that because you're going to get in a lot of trouble from all the listeners out there. We're going to play this one right now. Here's the latest single, Catch a Red, by country artist Mike Whiteside, here on Music's Journey.
Pulling away from those last call lights, the review showing me a perfect night. Minutes fly like seconds when you're in. I'm going 0 to 60 in 6.5. Got the two-door black Ford tucked inside. them to outlines, trying to slow it down.
I've been taking my time, letting this road wind, making this drive home last all night. Missing every road sign, I can tell you don't mind. Making every wrong turn feel so right. When I drop you off at your front porch, I might get a kiss, but this is the part I know I'm gonna miss. It's been green lights all night, and I don't want this to end. So I'm hoping that we catch a red.
I got my eyes on the road, you got your eyes on me. Leaning in close, girl, it's hard to breathe. Don't know where this is going, no, but I'm trying to keep it going, so
I've been taking my time, letting this road wind, making this drive home last all night. Missing every road sign, I can tell you don't mind. Making every wrong turn feel so right. When I drop you off at your front porch, I might get a kiss, but this is the part I know I'm gonna miss. It's been green lights all night, and I don't want this to end. So I'm hoping that we catch a red. I'm hoping that we catch a red. Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, you're driving the guy sitting on your left, fried out of his mind. I ain't gonna lie.
I've been taking my time, letting this road wind, making this drive home last all night. Missing every road sign, I can tell you don't mind. Making every wrong turn feel so right.
When I drop you off at your front porch, I might get a kiss, but this is the part I know I'm gonna miss.
It's been green lights all night, and I don't want this to end. So I'm hoping that we catch a red.
That was Catch a Red by my very special guest country artist Mike Whiteside for his fourth single to radio, an undeniable voice, and he is making a name for himself here in country music. Such a great song. Don't forget you can download Catch a Red or any of the songs that you're hearing on the show on all streaming platforms, and you can add them to your playlist and share them. You can also request them at your favorite local country radio station as well. Very cool. Love this one. This one's my favorite, I think. So far,
you know what, for me too, it really has. The production, everything came together, and just I think it really, as all these songs come out, it's hard to say that anyone is better than the other, but I almost feel like I'm almost in love with each one as they come out a little bit more.
See, look at that vulnerability peeking out again. It's gonna go, I'm
you're
gonna
onto
do
something
it.
Don't be revealing all my secrets. No.
What is it like working with Juno nominated producers Spencer Cheen and Justin Cutting?
It was great. They are both super, super talented, and the people that they're able to bring into the sessions, they're incredible musicians, some of the best in Canada. So that was a great experience, especially being able to get out into OCL over there in Calgary. Always a great experience. The studio is top notch, so I would say one of the best in the country, if not the best. And the experience was very, very good.
Have you gotten into any kind of writing session with Annika yet?
I have not yet.
Oh,
no.
Okay. So that should be on your dream list. You want to work.
Yeah, you know, everybody that I have written with has written with her. So.
Oh, she is just incredible. And she is so surprising where she goes. Yeah, she's just phenomenal all the way around. That's got to be one. Okay, now I did see something on YouTube, an original that you were playing acoustic.
Oh.
Too Many Drinks.
You were digging. Yes.
I always do. I always do. I never come to the interview with my plate half full. Tell me about this
I
one.
I do the same. Yeah. So that I actually wrote with, funny that you mentioned Brittany Kennell. So I wrote that one with her.
Oh, nice.
And Lydia Sutherland.
Yeah, very good song.
It was called Too Many Drinks. And thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's one of those ones where, as I said, I am sitting on a bunch of heartbreak songs. I obviously, you know, getting into music, one of the main reasons. The Kenny Chesney concert that I was with my ex-girlfriend and her parents and her family. And they were big advocates for me. And when I was at that concert, they actually looked to me and said, you know, like, you could be doing this. like that should be you up on stage. And it's not me trying to be corny or cheesy or anything like that. It's, you know, when somebody says something with enough conviction and you take it for what it is and you internalize it. And for me, that was it. That was kind of the spark that led me to get into music, but obviously it didn't work out with her daughter. And there was a lot of, songs
that came out of that
sitting there that needed to be written. And that was one of them. And that was all about thinking about that person and having a hard time getting over them, but realizing that you finally have to, and you're not going to put up with it anymore. And you're not going to let your mind be captivated by it anymore. And so it's called Too Many Drinks. It may or may not be a single that comes out.
I had a funny feeling and I was hoping, because it is a really good song. Yeah. So is this the debut?
Probably one of my favorites.
Cool.
It might be one of the next singles. I'm not going to give too much out there, but wink, wink, nudge, nudge, it might be the next single that comes out. I do plan on getting back down to Nashville to record very shortly here. And that's definitely one of the front runners.
Very cool. Now, is there an upcoming debut EP coming soon?
It's in the works. And I always say that because I get caught into the singles game as well. You plan on doing it and then you're like, okay, no, let's get another single. But the plan is this year to put together a bit of an EP and get that out to everybody.
Very cool. So rough idea when the single might be coming?
I would say a couple months.
Okay.
3 months, 4 months.
So we'll have you back on the show so I can bug you some more.
You can. You can bug me anytime you want. You have my number now, so you can just call me up, and even if it's not on the show, you can bug me.
I'm good at it. I'm really
good. So, you are, but I like it. I can give it back to you.
I know you can. Okay, so if you could own any guitar in the world, one that might be really special to you that's been owned by a favorite artist, past or present, or a new one, what would it be and why?
Oh, that's a good question, but I'm going to give you a really crummy answer. And the only reason is because I don't care what guitar I use. I know that sounds weird, but it honestly doesn't. I think if I'm perfectly fine with just any old guitar. I've never been captivated by a specific guitar, stuff like that. There's other people I know, like I actually saw you interviewed him very recently, Devin Cooper. He's got guitar under the side. And he knows way more about guitars than I do. I think that's the problem.
He does.
I just don't know enough about guitars. But
that's one of his favorite subjects, yes. And motorcycles, the other one.
That's the other one too. I've written with him a couple times. He's a great guy. But for me, honestly, I think it's not a great guitar, but my dad has a Yamaha that he played and he's had ever since I was a kid. And
sentimental.
My mom gave him the straps that went on it, and he's kept it on there. She passed away when I was really young, so that means a lot to me. It's not a great guitar, but it is something that one day up on stage I would want to play it in a pretty special occasion.
That would be so cool. Right? That would be
There's that softy heart coming back out.
See,
right?
I told you.
You weren't thinking it was going to be like that when I gave you the first answer, but.
See, I draw it out of everybody. Devin will tell you that. Yeah. Everybody will tell you that.
It's the layers of the onion. You're pulling them back, yes.
You don't even know what's happening half the time. So you're not supposed to catch on that quick. You're really not supposed to catch on that quick. Okay. Favorite song on the radio today?
Favorite song on the radio? That's a good one. I don't know. I don't listen to the radio.
Okay. So what's on your playlist?
It's Hardy.
I figured. Okay. What song?
A Rock is literally like a song that I will go back to every single day.
Okay. Very cool. Okay. Favorite hockey player of all time?
Oh, Bobby Orr.
Nice.
Yeah.
Same with my dad too. My dad loved him. Absolutely loved him.
Well, I was always number four because of Bobby Orr. And the whole reason behind it was my dad always wanted me to be a rushing defenseman. And that's what I did. And so I was just always number four, and it stuck with me when I was a young kid. And
Very cool.
That's why he was my favorite.
Nice. Well, that's a great pick. That's a great pick. Well, it has been great to have you on the show. I'll ask you some burning questions next time when we have a little bit more time.
Good. I look forward to it too. Yes, I really appreciate you having me. This has been a ton of fun.
Well, I look forward to having you back, and congratulations. You are on your way and really excited about the future for you.
Thank you so much.
All right. You take care. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you really soon.
Thank you, Kim. You as well. Thank you so much for having me. Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, country artist Mike Whiteside, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows lined up for you. I'm going to be interviewing Jason Benoit, Shantaya, Jake Hoot, winner of The Voice, another special song he's releasing right now. So we've got The Heels, David James, Brittany Cannell, Runaway Angel, Rock Icons Lighthouse, Rock Icons The Stampeders, Ty Wilson, Rock Band Harm and Ease, The Prairie States, Dan Davidson, Annika, Smoke and Ashes, Pete Lesperance, Aaron Allen, Billy Raphael, Faber Drive, New Moon Junction, Rock Band The Commoners, Elise Saunders, Huron Line, Katie Hurt, Abby Stewart, Melissa Adine, and so many more. Don't forget you can check out all the shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Music's Journey Show, and have yourselves a wonderful evening. We'll catch you here next time on Music's Journey.